Oh, I hate that Bob Scratch Gold Farm. Isn't he dead? I actually get that a lot. People think I'm dead all
really?
The time, man.
And what do you say? Did they actually come up? I thought you were dead.
Yeah, it's such a, you know, there's nothing to say back.
Well, if you do that, they think you're doing your own thing.
I actually do get like, oh my God. I had a kid go, oh my God, Sam Kinison. And I'm like, I don't give a fuck enough about this kid to straighten this out. So I just signed the autograph. Best wishes. Oh. And the best part of that story is I wasn't around to see the end of it when he's like, dude, I just met Sam Kinison. He's like, he's dead, man. It's like, our Orange Julius is haunted, man. So, yeah.
It's so wild that you can almost, the way you can drop back into it, like it's an instrument.
Yeah, I know.
Like it's like ingrained in there.
And I don't really do it. I do it for like mentally challenged people if they ask for it, and kids. And when I was single, women, you know what I mean? Like I would be talking to someone dumb as a door handle,
yeah.
And I'd be like, you know, but
just that much of it? Like,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, just give them a taste, you know. You know, I direct films now. You know, trying anything that works. Now, I went back to Albuquerque to see my in-laws.
Everyone's going back to Albuquerque.
Yeah,
it's beautiful.
My new wife, the 09,
mm-hmm.
she's good year. By the way, she went on, this sounds like routines, but she went on, which one of those, is it eHarmony? Which one's the Jesus one?
eHarmony.
She went on that, and they said that there's no one compatible for it. This is true. And I'm like, bam, I'm in. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But so I was, and this is a true story. I was in Utah, and I was doing stand-up. Now, you can't get mad, like, you know what I mean?
Wise guys?
Yeah. Right. And you can't get mad at the Mormons when you're there. You know what
right.
I mean? It's like people going, oh, this monkey, it just bit me in the face. And, you know, and I almost died. It's like, well, oh, my God, how'd that happen? Well, I was taking a bubble bath with the monkey.
Yeah.
And I gave it red wine. So, you know, I'm in Utah, so I'm actually in the monkey cage, right? And the Mormon monkey cage. So I can't get mad at the Mormons, but I do have big resentments towards them. So I'm on stage, and what bothered me was the other comedians were all Mormon, and they would go, and I'm looking over there, and I'd say, what the frick? Like, they wouldn't curse. And it was like four shows of guys not cursing, which was very infantile, you know, very juvenile. And I'm looking over there, cheese and crackers, and gosh darn, and some big ditch, you know, with all these make them up curse words. And I get on stage, and I go, hey, the word frick is really sacred to me. So say it or don't. But don't abuse the privilege. And here's why I lost him. I said, okay, let's pretend there is a God. That wasn't the noise they made. I was like, and
did you feel the vacuum in the
room?
Yeah,
oh,
yeah. Yeah.
The staff got mad, too. I go, do you really think he's up in heaven or Narnia or whatever make-em-up plan you people believe in, wondering who's saying frick and who's wearing magic underpants? But,
I actually did a show at a Chabad in Salt Lake City, Utah, and it was the most frightened community of Jews I've ever seen in my life.
All like making eye contact, trying to fight each other.
They were like,
we
live in a theocracy. It was one of those moments where you're like, why don't you go? Just go.
Yeah, there's no wall.
Yeah, just leave.
Because they're self-loathing.
Yeah, of course.
I remember doing a show with you in Hyannis, and it was one of the worst shows ever. This drunk wedding party came on. And you were going, hey, could you be quiet? And the woman's like, I am quiet. Well, just by the fact you're saying that you're quiet, you're not quiet. Okay, I'm not going to. It was this Pandora's box, this giant. It was like a scab on an artery that you had ripped off. And this lady, everything you said, right? And it was terrible. So the police actually came and arrested the wedding couple who were in the audience. And The guy goes, you can't arrest me. I know my rights. And the cop goes, you got the right to shut the f*** up. And he's handcuffing the guy and getting the car.
And then
Tony V went on after you and goes, is any newlyweds in the audience?
That was Bob Goldthwait with Mark Maron from Mark Maron's WTF podcast a few months back. If you're interested in what's going on in comedy, definitely check out the WTF podcast. Mark Maron has an interesting approach to interviewing fellow comics. Hilarity ensues, of course. Search WTF Podcast. And this week on the program, we're going to consider why so many of our fellow Americans think that Alex Jones listeners, truthers, birthers, and Jesse Ventura nozzles are sad and pathetic creatures. But everybody else on the block with a Bible that gets their information on how the world works at church on Sunday are just fine. They're harmless. Religion and comedy. Redundant. We'll kick this off with my favorite working comic today, Doug Stanhope.
Obama shit. I'm on the Obama bandwagon strictly from the point of view as a casting director. And we all have a responsibility to not just our country, but the world, to cast someone who's cool to watch. Because they're not leaders. These people are not leading you. If you really believe that, if you need a leader, hire a dominatrix and have her put you on a dog chain and walk you around the room and rub your nose in your own piddle. If you need to be led, you're weak. Anyone who's in office, and the libertarians let me down there. At least my outlet vote was a libertarian party, but this Nazi Bob Barr hijacked the nomination this year, so I can't even do that. So just from a standpoint of being a casting director, which is what we are, we're going to have to watch some douchebag play the role of leader of the free world for the next 4 years. Pick the guy that's cool and fun to watch. Right? At least, because that's all it is. It's just a movie at this point. Pick the guy of the two. If he's going to be the leader of the free world, and he's going to, when the asteroid is hurtling towards the Earth, and he has to pull Bruce Willis out of retirement to go on a rocket ship and blast that thing out of the sky, I like the cool chocolate guy. Barack Obama's my dude. He's cool to watch, so why not? It makes us look better to the rest of the world. When I go to play in Norway next time, or England, or the UK, they won't spit my sandwich because they heard my accent and think I'm an ass because the leader of our free world is an ass. I must be one. That's why they're fucking, oh, yeah, what about Sarah Palin? She's a fundamentalist Christian creationist. And you go, so what? Like, why is that less retarded than the rest of the suckers? Are any of them free-thinking, rational atheists? Where's that candidate? Where's that candidate? Even Ron Paul, who I was behind, he's a nitwit. You have to discount those people immediately. Where is any candidate for any office on any level that's a... No, God? You fucking fag? You're a candidate for office? What are you, the mayor of Nobody Really Lives Hereville? Are you the water commissioner of... Me and my wife are the only people who voted for that position, Stan. Write you in, yes. They're all fucking, like, anytime someone says they're any kind of religion, just because it's a softer side of Jesus, fundamentalist sounds more, but it's still all exactly the same retarded. Anyone who says they're a religion should just plummet in your eyes. They lose all credibility. Any candidate, that's why you can't ever, if you needed a leader, then none of them are qualified because they're all retarded. Any, just even a little bit of religion. I believe in peace and hope and change and prosperity and 10 chickens in every pot. And I believe that everyone should have health care and the dollar should be worth something again. And I also derive all of my moral compass from dream interpretation. Fish mean progress. Flying means war.
What?
Religious tolerance. No. Zero tolerance for any type of religion. If you're ever going to make a difference, and here's the problem I've always had, is you always attack the fundamentalist base of a religion because it's so much easier. There's so much meat to work with. But the truth is, there's only a little small nugget of fundamentalist in any religion. And you can't win attacking them because those people are honestly mentally ill. They have all the symptoms of a progressed mental illness. And you're not going to win that argument. My girlfriend is mentally ill. And she goes off her meds and she thinks there's a six-eyed fish in her lap. All your logical, well, what says in the, here's logic. It's not going to work. Because she's a mental case. So what you need to do is you attack religion from the outside in. What you do is you attack the pedestrian quasi-religious name brand. The guy sitting next to you probably. You dumb Catholic. I wear a cross, but I don't know what this means. I tell dumb jokes about how I'm a Catholic. We can just go apologize every Sunday, and then we start over. That joke never gets old. But you still say you're a Catholic rather than saying, I don't believe any of that, which is what you mean. But when you say you're a Catholic, you give some credibility to that nugget of hardcore fundamentalists, and you deny them the medical attention that otherwise they would be getting for having delusional beliefs about secret people watching them from invisible corners. So yeah, attack your friend. I guess I'm a Methodist. That's what I put on the census paper where it said religion, but this is just because my mom told me and she didn't even go to church, so I guess don't stop saying it. That's like me saying I'm a heroin addict. Haven't tried it yet, but my parents said gives you the wrong idea. I'm gonna try heroin. Stand-up seems all right. He doesn't do it. So yeah, start attacking and humiliating anyone who says they're one of those. Start with agnostics. Oh, you're agnostic. You think there could be a Batman. You just don't know. And you don't want to get into an uncomfortable conversation. No, you're atheist with the asterisk of, you know, I don't know as much as you don't know, but I know that buffoonery that you try to sell in a pamphlet on the street is utter nonsense. And I'm ashamed to be part of your species. So there's your leaders, Reverend Wright. What you're chastising him about is the only arguably logical thing he said. Everything else he says for a living is what you should be holding up scrutiny on. The Bible. Yeah, goddamn America. Yeah, that's an arguable point. The rest of the Bible stuff, no, you're a retard. All right. Hey, Stanhope, do you have funny jokes? Nah, not so much anymore.
What is your relationship with Catholicism now, I mean, and in fact with organizing?
I don't have any relationship with Catholicism anymore. I don't adhere to it. I don't want to sound prudish and say that I don't approve of it, but I don't. I find it primitive and frightening, and I find the whole child molestation on an international scale a disgrace that should be a United Nations cause. So I have a deep distrust and dislike of the Catholic Church and any other organization that brainwashes people. And if people concentrated more on how and never mind why,
yes,
we'd be in such better shape. You know, now there was Sarah Palin, wanted to be vice president of America, which would make her the second most powerful person in the world. And if McCain unfortunately died, she would be the most powerful person in the world. This is a person who thinks the world is 4,000 years old. You know, because she's into why. Do a bit of how it happened, and the why will go out the window. You'll realize the why is bullshit, and take your invisible friends with you. It's crap. It's juju. It's...
It was wonderful. I was at a religious festival. I've got a place in the Mediterranean, in Malta. And I had my grandson, wee Wally. He was about 3 and a half or something. And it was that, you know, the Jesus on the cross coming. We were watching this procession. It was fucking terrible. The crucifix about 20 feet high coming around the corner. My wee grandson says, "Who's that?" I say, "That's Jesus." He says, "Baby Jesus." I said, "Yeah, that's him." He says, "Somebody killed baby Jesus." It was the most sincere religious cry. If Christians did that, I would believe them. What? The bastards killed Jesus. Then I, oh, la, la, folk mass. Well, Jesus, oh, la, Jesus, dying on the cross for me. I could never remember hymns in church when I was a boy. Used to just kind of join in. Oh, Jesus, for me, and suffering and dying, just for me, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You can just make it up as you go along. It's pish. And I'll tell you something else. Christians shouldn't be allowed near rock and roll. It's not for them. It's not for them. They should go and join the Brothers of the Beige or something. The Beige Sisters of Premenstrual Agony. Christian rock, is there such an absurdity in the world? He is my savior. That's not rock and roll. That's youth club table tennis crap. Rock and roll is, I am the devil and I want to f*** your mother.
Your dad didn't like that joke. But
yeah.
Other complaints from people saying, how can you do that? You can't, that's the, you deal with religion and you've dealt with race and incest and pretty interesting topics.
Not really. There was one negative article where somebody said, how can you make fun of your father-in-law's religion? You know.
Right.
Which was ridiculous. I wasn't making fun of his religion. And even if I was, so what? You know, it's a comedy. Religion should be made fun of. It's quite ridiculous, isn't it? I mean, think how people spend their lives. Well, I have no idea that they go around as if this is a fact. It's so insane, you know. If I really believe that stuff, I'd keep it to myself. Lest somebody think I was out of my mind.
So my read of concerns within the religious community, it is vastly more concerned about our near identical relationship with the chimpanzee than it is about whatever we say about the Big Bang. Mm-hmm. Now, I've been brought into some of that conversation just to help people understand what science is and what science is not. And so I think what's unfortunate about how that's turned is religion is becoming sort of the enemy of science, or science the enemy of religion. And that's only because religious forces are trying to put religious writings in the science classroom. Now, there's no tradition of the science professor knocking down the door of the Sunday school, telling the preacher to put science in what goes on in the Sunday school class. There's no tradition of that. There are no scientists picketing outside of churches saying, you know, equal time for Darwin. That doesn't happen. It's not how this country was founded. So it's this needless debate going on out there when people need to know if your belief system derives from what's called inspired truths that do not come out of empirical investigation of the physical world, it has no place in the science classroom. That doesn't mean it has no place anywhere else. Put it in the religious philosophy class. Put it in the history of human thought class. But it just has no place in the science classroom. And it's not about the First Amendment. It's about what is science and what is not. And that's where I put it. Thank you. Oh, thank you.
And now let us all say the Apostles' Creed, as contained in the New Revised Version of the New Revised Version of the Book of Common Prayer, or meditation, it's the same thing, really. I believe in God.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, or at least it stands to reason there has to be some sort of greater power, you know, like electricity sort of thing. And in Jesus Christ, who was obviously a fantastic bloke, and it's been proved historically that he actually did exist around that time, actually, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary. No, don't laugh. It could happen. After all, they can do it in a test tube these days. I mean, that proves it, doesn't it? The third day he rose again from the dead, a sort of reincarnation, if you like. Did you see that program on BBC Two? I believe in the Holy Ghost, telepathy, flying saucers, black magic. There must be something in astrology, gay liberation, the Loch Ness Monster, the abominable snowman, the Surrey Panther. copper bracelets for rheumatism, levitation, water divining, poltergeists, and the life everlasting. That is, if the bloody Russians don't invade Poland. Amen.
Does God exist? And in particular, we direct this question to our guest, the very Reverend Andy Simpson.
Thanks a lot, Angie. Yeah, my answer, ladies and gentlemen, is going to be a predictably simple one. Of course, God exists. The proof is all around us. But I want to open
Excuse me!
A question from the audience.
If there is a God up there controlling things, why does he allow people doing a good turn to get hurt?
That old chestnut. Yeah. We're all sinful, in a way, aren't we?
For yourself, Padre.
But we will all ultimately be rewarded in heaven, and I think
Hang about, let's get down to cases. I got this opening a tin of cat food yesterday, gentlemen. Now, I don't even like the bloody moth-eaten thing. But I opened its tin of kanga chunks and nearly cut my bloody finger off. Now, why?
God really can't be expected to watch over everyone who's opening a tin of cat food. I'd like to raise the level of this discussion and talk about St. Paul, who started out not...
How is it a man can stab his wife 80 times with a meat cleaver and not even get a crease in his trousers, while I nearly cut my bloody finger off trying to save the cat from starvation? While there are other lazy people sitting on their asses in front of the telly watching songs of praise, I can think.
God gives us a choice, doesn't he? I mean, a choice to use our gifts wisely or foolishly.
Ah, see, I suppose it's my fault, is it?
I'm reminded of the parable of the 9 virgins. 8 of them were wise and used their tin openers diligently, but the 9th was a clumsy, loud-mouthed virgin who kept wittering on about
about you're making that up.
Look, there are 6 million cats in this country. How many tins of kanga chunks would God have to watch over to make sure that nerks like you didn't cut their fingers?
I think the point here is that God can't really be expected to be in 2 places at once.
Yes, he can. He can. He's omnipresent, for God's sake. Look, God loves us all.
Doesn't seem to love me very much.
Well, amazingly, he does. It's me who can't stand the sight of
him. I think we might have exhausted this line of questioning. Could we have the next question from the audience, please? It's a Mr. Bentos from Cheltenham.
Yep, that's me. I like to ask, why don't they have a key like they do on tins of corned beef?
Do you know what worries me?
Don't know. Where the baby ants go to school. Go on.
No, all these people going about pretending to be nuns.
What do you mean?
Do you think that's right?
It's a film.
I know, but they're all like wandering around as holy ladies. Won't that offend God or something?
Offend God or someone?
But does it not worry you a bit?
No. What, offending God? I'm an atheist.
What one's that? Is that the one where you haven't decided what you want?
No, it's agnostic. I'm an atheist. I firmly believe there is no God.
Why?
What do you mean, what? The burden of proof's not on me. The burden of proof is on the people who say there is a God. I don't believe in God. I believe in science.
So do you not believe in anything like ghosts or spirits or anything?
No, I don't believe in ghosts or spirits or elves. It's certainly not God, no.
So what do you think happens when you die?
Well, if you're buried, you go in the ground and you're worm food.
See, I don't like that. I would rather believe that there is a God and your soul just floats away onto eternity and all your friends from school will be there, like all the ones you haven't seen for ages and all your dead pets and just like all nice people. You don't have to worry about worms.
You believe in God then?
No.
We started the set with Doug Stanhope, followed by Billy Connolly, Larry David, Neil deGrasse Tyson, Rowan Atkinson, and wrapped up with Ricky Gervais from Extras. This has been the Inner Side Radio Program, a leisure service of the Pacifica Foundation. This and all previous Inner Side Radio programs can be found online. Simply Google Inner Side. My name is Scooter, and I'll see y'all next week. Here is Steve Martin with Deep Canyon Satire.
You know, religious people have such beautiful music and art, and atheists really have nothing. Until now. Little tune called Atheists Don't Have No Songs.
Christians have their hymns and pages.
Hymns and pages.
Habaneguilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues. Romantics play Clair de Lune.
Clair de Lune.
Born again, sing He is Risen. But no one ever wrote a tune for godless existentialism. For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing a song of faith in their songs.
They have a rule.
The He is always lowercase. The He is always lowercase. Some folks sing a bacchantata. Lutherans get Christmas trees. Atheist songs add up to nada.
Up to nada.
But they do have Sundays free. Pentecostals sing to heaven.
Sing to heaven.
Coptics had the Book of Scrolls. Numerologists count to seven.
Count to seven.
Atheists have rock and roll. For atheists,
there's no good news.
They'll never sing a song of faith in their songs.
They have a rule.
The He is always lowercase. The He is always lowercase.
Atheists don't have no songs.
Christians have their hymns and pages. Habaneguilas for the Jews.
For the Jews.
Baptists have the Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages.
Atheists just sing the blues.
Catholics dress up for Mass
and listen to Gregorian chants.
Atheists just take a pass.
Watch football in their underpants.
Atheists don't have no songs.
Don't have no songs.
Thank you very much.